All right, we are joined this evening on the Psychedelic Experience by a guest this evening. We have a special guest in studio, and that's always a pleasure. We have one of the art professors here at Millikan University. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, sir?
My name's Ed Walker. I'm the Associate Professor of Graphic Design and Computer Graphics here at Millikan.
Excellent. How long have you taught at the school?
26 years.
Very nice. Seen some changes in that time at the school, I'm sure.
Very, very many.
Well, Mr. Walker is in the studio this evening to talk to us about next week's poster exhibit that we've hyped up now for, gosh, a little over a month probably. As soon as the psych professor found out, he was all about it. And he got a little sneak peek a few weeks ago, and we'll link to a great article in Thrive Magazine, kind of the Macon County free entertainment magazine. They did a couple page spread on the event, some great pictures as well. So we'll link to that on our Facebook page, which you can find. Just search the Psychedelic Experience 895 on Facebook. We'll come up, and we'll have that link up there soon. But next Thursday, January 26th, is the actual event date, the kickoff party.
That's right. We actually are in the final stages of installing the exhibition, and it will be pretty much done tomorrow afternoon.
Excellent.
The goal was to get it ready for students when they came back, and then to have the launch party on Thursday from 5 to 7.
5 to 7.
Yeah, 5 to 7.
And where's that at on campus?
It's in the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, so we're actually taking up both galleries. The large Perkinson Gallery is where the main part of the poster exhibition is going to be, and then the lower gallery is a trip back to the 60s and 70s cultural revolution with posters about the Vietnam War. Men landing on the moon, paraphernalia of different types, tie-dye, just a real overall kind of an immersion experience in that area. So people can come and sit back and relax and spend some time remembering what it was like in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, that's amazing. So how did this show get put together? How did it start?
It's a two-year process,
yeah.
Really. We started talking about it exactly 2 years ago this semester.
Wow.
So I had met Mark Willis, who's the owner of the collection. He actually inherited the collection from his brother, Reese. And Reese lived in San Francisco and right in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. Out of the Navy, he decided instead of coming back to the Midwest, he would stay in San Francisco. So he was part of the hippie culture. And part of it meant that he was totally immersed in going to the concerts. He had a little kind of a antique shop that was full of all the different things that he could get his hands on that were related to the area, and that included the posters and some other things that went along with the posters, like the tie-dye and things like that. But mm-hmm. That was back in the 60s, and then he passed away about 4 years ago.
Oh.
So Mark went out to deal with the estate, and that's when he found the posters. He had known that they existed. His brother had told him that they existed, but the great story was that they were tucked neatly between two mattresses. So there was a lot of stuff to go through because he was a collector, and collector with a big C.
Yes.
And so he had a lot of stuff, and he said it took him a while to find the posters because he knew they were there. And so when he located them, he brought them back to Decatur, and we started discussing the idea of the exhibition after I visited his house with some of my students. So we went over there as part of a class to look at the posters because he had invited us over, and I knew that the students had never seen anything like it in that volume and that type of material.
Absolutely.
It was all hand done. No computers back then.
Yeah.
No Photoshop, nothing. So they were pretty silent when they looked at them. Didn't have a lot of response. They couldn't really read the typography,
right.
The psychedelic typography. It was really mysterious to them. But they enjoyed it, and we started doing some mini projects and kicking around ideas for catalog covers and working with the imagery and talking about the typography. And then made the commitment before the end of the semester to go ahead and do an exhibition. And so the planning of that continued through the summer. And so we had one of our students, Sydney Doherty, got a summer undergraduate research fellowship, and she got that through the university. We applied for that. She got it, and then she worked with me last summer actually cataloging the entire collection. So she did the photography and then cataloged the names of the artists, the producer of the poster, the date, and all the musicians that were on those posters. So that took her all summer to do that.
Wow.
And then in the fall, we started working on the catalog. And so we worked through the fall on the catalog in Bronze Man Books, our publishing company here on campus that I teach in. And so Bronze Man worked with me in the layout and the design and implementing those photographs and the content that Sydney put together. And then we produced the catalog before the end of last semester. So it was done.
Oh, excellent.
And so I've been working over Christmas break while everybody else was on break. I've been here actually installing the exhibition.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a huge, huge undertaking. It's great to get a student's hands-on experience with that as well.
And absolutely.
Boy, talking about the students seeing the posters for the first time and some of the typography, it really is difficult to read. Even if you're familiar with the posters,
it's
still kind of tough to decipher them sometimes. But what's amazing is some of the artists now, like Victor Moscoso, there's a font that's probably on every PC or Mac everywhere. You can go on and do a Moscoso font, and it's that typography.
That's right.
So it's had a lasting effect on graphic design since that time period.
It really has, and you know, the designers of those posters were influenced by traditional art history as well, Art Nouveau, and some of the surrealist painters and things like that, Dali and those guys. So they were using some of that influence in their poster designs, but they really did put their own twist on it, and that's what made it an original American art form. And these pieces of paper were meant to be on a telephone pole and then torn off for the next one, and they were never meant to survive, but they were so visually interesting and dynamic, people kept them.
Yes.
And so there are some collections out there on the internet. There's some auction sites and things like that, but for the person that just wants to come and see the original posters the way that they were meant to be seen, this is a really unique opportunity. Some of them have the little pinholes in the corners, and then some of them are pristine, never been hung.
That's incredible.
It's an amazing collection.
How many total posters are on the exhibit?
There was over 400 cataloged.
Wow.
We actually have about 200 in the exhibition. And there are some, in addition to the posters, there are some matching postcards that were sent out.
Oh, yes.
At the same time. And there are some actual tickets, ticket stubs and things
like incredible.
That as well. So that's kind of fun, too, to see the combination of the poster, the postcard, and the ticket as well. Other things, we have a couple of original photographs. Let's see, who do we have? Some bands from the era. I'm trying to think of some of the better ones.
Stuff like The Doors or Janis Joplin, maybe.
We do. We have two Janis Joplins, and then we have one group band, and it's just escaping me right now because we've been looking at so many things.
Oh, sure. I'm sure it's a blur at this point.
It is a blur.
Now, how long is the exhibition going for?
It goes till February 24th. I believe
awesome.
It's the 24th. The other thing about the exhibition, we are with Mark's permission, after the 26th, we are available to sell some of the posters.
Oh, that's incredible.
So we need to have it up through the event.
Sure.
Because we're not taking anything off the walls until after the event or marking them as sold. But there are going to be opportunities for people to purchase the posters and the cultural material to go with it. I mean, everything from tie-dye to furniture to, you know, if somebody wants to buy the lava lamp at the end of the show, coming by the original lava lamp, and we're going to clear that gallery.
Fantastic. Well, for any listeners out there, next Thursday, January 26th, is the exhibition. That's also my birthday.
Whoa!
So if you want to buy the DJ Mellaiello a present. Now, the psych professor is fist pumping over there because he's had his eye on one poster specifically. So I think he's drooling a little bit over there. Now, you said they are going to be for sale. Have you guys had them appraised? Have you brought
I'm an appraiser.
Oh, so amazing.
I'm an accredited fine art appraiser and have been since 1998. So,
fantastic.
You know, that's not the hard part.
Sure.
That's part of the work that I do, not only for the university, but for a lot of other people. And that's part of how Mark and I met, was through the antiques and art business. We'll have him available, and some, you know, he's not going to let go.
Sure.
But others, you know, we'll have conversations with people that are actually serious about, I want to buy this one. We'll sit down with them and make a deal and see if we can't get some sold. Because part of the proceeds go back to the art department.
Oh, awesome. So that's great.
We've already established that as part of the contract, that we sell things and then part of that proceeds go back so that we can do other exhibits.
Oh, fantastic. That's great to hear. Well, Ed, thank you so much for coming in this evening. It was great having you here. And again, that's Thursday, a week from today, January 26th at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center from 5 to 7, the official kickoff party. And we will be there. Yeah, the psych professor and myself. Definitely going to be there. And it runs through February 24th. Again, if you see something you like,
talk to
Ed, let him know.
Yep.
Work something out. Try to give back a little bit to Millikan University as well as to the exhibition so we can bring more cool stuff to Decatur like this.
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, mentioned that Janis Joplin is on some of the photos and the posters. It's also her birthday today. So we'll go ahead and throw a track on from Miss Joplin from her time with Big Brother and the Holding Company. Here's The Last Time, a single from the era. Enjoy. Thanks again, Ed.
Thank you.